It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Listen to me, I'm older and I'm wise.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is gonna be huge.
I believe this is gonna be our finest hour.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Y'all ready for this?
Thank God it's...
into a sports weekend on the road. We are at Winter Circle out of New Haven. The Sports Rush. We've got games wall to wall in the NCAA tournament, and we invite you to come on out and join us. It is a Friday edition of the Sports Rush. Brett Rump with Adam Lundy on your daily local sports fix. And once again, we had so much fun yesterday. We came back today, but now you've got to come see us. We're here until 6 o'clock. And of course, you know, tonight, the big one for local fans, the Purdue Boilermakers will be taking on Grambling. That game will start at about 7:25, so you probably want to get here during the Sports Rush and get a seat, make sure you got the table you want, and get all primed, you know what I mean, primed, little tailgate at the table, get all set for the Purdue Boilermakers and Grambling State tonight, the NCAA tournament. Of course, last night was a lot of fun watching the games. Coming up on the show, we'll talk more about that Purdue-Grambling matchup. We'll talk about the Mastodons and their postseason continuing. We've got games coming up on Sunday and Monday for the two Mastodons basketball programs. We'll have to talk to Brian again. Brian was so good yesterday, our manager here at Winner's Circle. Of course, the great thing about coming out here and watching the games is you can put some action on the contest. That's right. We've got the betting is open here at Winner's Circle. And so if you see a trend, you want to act on it, you want to get a little parlay put together on tonight's games, you come on out here to Winner's Circle. And the great thing about Winner's Circle is when you place a bet and you win, you get paid cash. Yeah, no deposits going into some account. It's almost like a virtual account, where you have to, you can only access the money by requesting a, you know, a transfer deposit, wait, you know, two or three business days. No, you get the money in hand right as you win. That's the way to enjoy a victory.
Yeah, staring those green presidents in the face when they look right back at you just feels a little bit better.
Yeah, and now the only thing is out here, you may have to get in line behind Shohei Ohtani, but, oh, I shouldn't say that. Did I say that? I'm sorry.
You mean his translator.
Well, whoever might be at the window placing some bets. Yeah, we continue to hear more about that story. And, I mean, I don't know how we're going to get all the details unless this ends up in court for some reason. But right now, we know the translator has been fired by the Dodgers. Apparently, he was being paid by the Dodgers to be Shohei Ohtani's translator. But he also has a close relationship with Ohtani and maybe even close enough to be the one that places some bets at the windows. We still got to figure out all the details in that. But anyway, come on out here and be part of the Friday show as we get you into your sports weekend. Of course, this weekend's going to be consumed mostly by college basketball. And that's what, you know, and that's whether you like women's basketball, men's basketball, the NIT, the NCAA tournament. It's all happening. So you'll be able to consume whatever basketball flavor you like when it comes to college hoops. And right now, I guess the story of the day, we had a really good game to start off this day. Unfortunately, Adam, we can go ahead and burn the owl sound that we've got, man, in the studio. We can just go ahead and dispose of that, click the delete button, get rid of it. Florida Atlantic, one and done. The year after making it to the Final Four and exciting the South Florida fans down there in the Boca Raton area, Florida Atlantic runs it back. They bring virtually the entire lineup back. They bring the coach back. And they lose to a undermanned Northwestern squad. And a lot of credit to Chris Collins, Boo Booey, and the Northwestern Wildcats, because Northwestern is playing without two of their starters. Ty Berry is out injured. And Nicholson, their big man, he couldn't go. And so they're playing with only three of their regular starters on the floor. And then you add to that some pieces off the bench, and they were able to kind of patch together a lineup that was able to beat Florida Atlantic in overtime. In fact, overtime wasn't close, but Florida Atlantic should never have had this game go to overtime. They had a chance to win it at the free throw line. They're up two with just seconds remaining in the game. All they've got to do is hit a couple of free throws. It's a two-possession lead, and they would basically have locked up the game. Instead, Golden, the big man, goes to the line and misses the front end of a one-and-one. Northwestern comes down, dribble. They've got a score. They end up getting a bucket. They tie it up. And then at the end of the game, Florida Atlantic does get the ball to the guy they want to have it, Jonell Davis. And he hurries it into the front court with seconds remaining. And with about 3 to 4 seconds remaining, he slows up at the three-point line. Been watching way too much SportsCenter because, you know, what do you see? You see all the highlights of the guys that hit three-pointers at the buzzer. That's great if you're forced into a three-pointer at the buzzer. But when you've got the open court, you're in transition, you're pushing the pace, the defense hasn't fully set, you have got to get that ball to the basket if you got time to do it. And Jonell Davis basically gave himself up, had the chance to take it to the rack, where that to me is his game, is attacking the basket, drawing contact, and finishing at the rim. And instead, Davis settles for a contested three that gets partially blocked, and the game goes to overtime. And Northwestern, almost like karma, Northwestern dominates the overtime, wins the game by 12, 77 to 65. Now, here's the thing to remember. Don't come at me with this is proof that FAU didn't deserve a spot in the tournament, because FAU was good enough. They didn't shoot worth a crap. They turned the ball over, 21 times or something? A ridiculous number of turnovers, just sloppy with the basketball. And it was not a 12-point game. It was an even game against Northwestern. So, you know, I don't think this is the example of the team you knock out to get a place for an Indiana State to get in the field. I think we already established that Virginia was probably that team. But my beloved Florida Atlantic Owls are not making another run in this year's NCAA tournament.
And now begins the talks about one Dusty May.
Yeah, because now all of a sudden he's available maybe sooner than some expected. And his name, of course, is being connected to some high-profile jobs. Louisville is one. Michigan, his name has come up. Of course, IUPUI. No, I'm kidding.
St. Louis.
Which will be Indiana University of Indianapolis next year. IUI.
Mm.
I don't know if there'll be a way to say that. I don't know.
Let's just stick with.
It's gonna, you know, and there's still. What's gonna be funny is to see how long it takes before people don't put IUPUI on the graphics, or.
I mean, we still see people putting IPFI.
Oh, don't do that. It's like giving me a gut punch. I know, I hate that. Two things that absolutely are like nails on a chalkboard to me is IPFW, when it has not been IPFW for like 6 years.
It's been a while.
7 years, maybe. 6 years, I think, at least. And the other thing is Mastodons, spelled M-A-S-T-A-D-O-N-S.
Nope.
It is not Mastodons, it's Mastodons. And that one drives me crazy, too, because there is not a word that is spelled mastodons. And so if you've got any kind of spell check on your phone or your PC, it should correct you.
It should.
It should. But anyway, FAU is out. What else do we have going on? What's some of the other scores we've got?
At the half, UConn up large on Stetson, 52-19. Also at the half, Clemson big over New Mexico, 42-28.
Mountain West. We'll talk about the Mountain West.
We will.
It has not been a good tournament for the Mountain West.
That's putting it lightly, Brett.
SEC and Mountain West have not had great starts to this tournament.
Nope. Other finals from today. Baylor gets an easy win over Colgate, 92-67. Marquette survives over Western Kentucky, 87-69. It was a little bit closer, but Marquette.
Yeah, that's deceiving because that game was a single-digit game. Well, actually, Western Kentucky led.
Yeah.
And then Marquette had the big rally out of the locker room to take the lead, and then Western Kentucky fought back. Had it tied a couple of times. Then it was even like, last five, six minutes, and it was like a 6-7 point game. So it was probably a lot of free throws and things that happened at the end to open up that margin.
And one more final from today so far. San Diego State gets a close win over UAB, 69-65. That one also came down to the wire here.
How about San Diego State and FAU, two of the darlings of the Final Four a year ago, and they almost both got forced into overtime today. FAU loses to Northwestern. San Diego State avoids the overtime and was able to prevail over UAB. And so San Diego State gets at least through game one. And we'll see how far they go this year. Clemson, New Mexico is the shocker to me. My bracket's got New Mexico.
Uh-oh. The Lobos are in trouble.
And Patino, I trust. And perhaps that's not the place to put your faith. Again, Mountain West.
Yeah. And like you said, we'll end up talking about it, but it's just not a great start for that conference.
No, not at all. So last night, the story of the tournament so far from the Horizon League, the Oakland Golden Grizzlies, who ended the Mastodon's dream of trying to dance in this tournament. The Oakland Golden Grizzlies, who also the Mastodons beat by 21 points earlier this season, defeated the Blue Blood of Blue Bloods. I mean, if you say, what are the top three or four, quote, Blue Bloods in the country, every list would have Kentucky among those. Oakland gets the win, and it was not a fluke. Oakland outplayed Kentucky last night. Oakland and Greg Campy and his 40 years of being on the Oakland sideline outcoached John Calipari last night. And by the way, I want to make this point clear, and I've said this before, Adam. Mastodons played Kentucky down there in Lexington a few years ago, and I looked up the pronunciation guide for Calipari, because I wasn't sure. Calipari? Calipari. The official pronunciation, according to the University of Kentucky media guide, it's Calipari.
Okay.
Not Calipari.
Good to know.
Calipari sounds like some kind of an Italian dish.
Calamari.
Yeah. Not calamari. It's calamari. But in this case, it's Calipari. So that's the way they pronounced it, according to their media guide.
But
and
what
so
a game.
I have to believe that has some credibility.
The media might have found their darling in one Jack Golke for this tournament.
Oh, my goodness. Jack Golke, who was recruited out of the local YMCA. He looks like the guy that's wearing a sweatshirt with cutoff sleeves, right?
Yes.
And maybe even a headband. I'm just trying to picture what I would see with Jack Golke playing at the Y. Maybe some baggy sweats. But Jack Golke, who does look like he's, and people are saying he looks like he's 35. Let's not lie about it. He looks like he's about 55. I mean, that hairline.
I saw some people on Twitter say they remind he reminds them of Matthew Perry.
Okay, that's one. Who does Jack Golke remind you of? 46862 is the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. And here's the other. If a picture of Jack Golke was posted on social media, what job title would you expect to see associated with that picture? Local insurance agent, local car salesman. What exactly would be the occupation for one Jack Golke who dropped 10 triples on Kentucky last night? Now, the Mastodons are well aware of Golke's heroics. In fact, he did a little bit of that in the win that Oakland had at the Coliseum. He hit six threes against the Mastodons. That wasn't a great night where the Mastodons had a lead with like 4 or 5 minutes left and ended up losing the game. And Golke's three heroics that night helped them to that win. So this is not like a fluke for Golke. You know, the guy can shoot. I mean, sometimes he's like 3 for 6 or he's 4 for 8. Last night, he just happened to shoot a lot.
20 threes.
And I think it was almost the game plan.
Yeah.
It's like, I think the best shot we're going to get is Golke hitting three-pointers because, you know, athletically, they're not going to be able to match up. They're not a big team, so they aren't going to be able to go inside and get a lot of points. And so I think part of Oakland's strategy was, let's see who we can get going between Blake Lampman and Jack Golke, because those two guys, they're both very streaky shooters, and they can get hot. They're great shooters from the outside. It was an awful night for Blake Lampman. In fact, he ended up being pulled from the game, sat on the bench, and Rocket Watts got most of his minutes. But for Jack Golke, we saw what he did last night.
Yeah, and when he can hit threes like that and hit 10 of them, that opens up the offense as well for the rest of the Oakland players.
And so Golke with a big night, 32 points, never took a two-point shot. He was 10 for 20, all from behind the arc.
Did he dribble once?
Yeah, I think he had like three dribbles the entire night. Used the shot fake, you know, curled off screens. But he hit a couple of unbelievable threes.
Oh, yeah.
And the funny thing was he took a wild three, missed it. The rebound got tipped out. He got it back, and he took another three. I mean, a lot of guys aren't going to do that. They're, you know what they're going to do when they get it the second time? They'll give a shot fake. They'll try to drive and find a teammate. No, his confidence, he's got, like, super short-term memory. He misses a shot, and he can't wait to get the next shot. And so last night, Golke shot it 20 times from behind the arc. And I saw somebody post this on social media last night. Credit to Greg Campy, because there's not a lot of coaches that are going to let one of his players shoot 20 shots no matter how many he's hitting. And Golke just completely went off. He was the difference, obviously, in the game last night for Oakland, who early on was struggling to find any kind of consistent offense. And then they found Golke. And
right.
From the time they found Golke, they had consistent offense. It's like Kentucky, you can get as many twos as you want because we're counting them three at a time now with Golke firing from the perimeter. But what a great win for the Horizon League. You know, because you always hope that when you talk about the comparison of different conferences, you talk about the challenge the Mastodons face in trying to win a very difficult conference. You know, the Dons get the win over a MAC opponent the other night, and we talked about this yesterday, that, you know, going and beating a MAC opponent, to most people, they would think immediately, oh, that's got to be an upset. But the Dons are 10-7 in their last 17 against MAC teams. The MAC overall has not been or has not shown itself to be a superior conference to the Horizon League. From a venue standpoint, if you go around the Horizon League, I think overall you're going to be more impressed with the collection of home court venues that you've got in the Horizon League, with the Nutter Center down at Wright State, the Truist Arena down in Northern Kentucky.
Highland Heights.
I was going to say North Highlands, and it's like, no, Highland Heights down in Kentucky, just across from Cincinnati. You've got Cleveland State, of course, with the Wallstein Center, you know, another building that holds like 12,000. I think it'll hold like 15 or 16 if they actually pull the curtain and take the whole arena. But and the O-Rena, the home of Oakland. where the Mastodons went up there in the tournament, played the same Oakland squad, and had 4,000 plus packed into the arena, a sellout crowd, and it made it very tough. That was the only home game during the tournament for Oakland, and the fans certainly came out to show their support for the Golden Grizzlies. But what a game last night. Now, as far as Golke, I looked him up to see exactly what he did against the Mastodons this year. In the two wins, he went a combined 8 for 19 from 3.
Yeah.
In the one game the Dons beat them, he was 2 for 11. So clearly he is a little bit of an X factor. They need those points from the perimeter from Golke. He has made at least 5 threes in 6 of his last 10 games prior to last night. So now in 7 of the last 11 games, he has made at least 5 threes in a game.
That's impressive. Purdue Fort Wayne basketball tweeting last night, "We're proud to be the national leader in forcing Jack Golke two-point attempts this season. 3 of his 8 two-point attempts this year came against the Dons."
Yes, put a banner up, right? Put up the banner.
Forced Golke into three
Forced
twos.
Golke to actually put it on the deck and shoot twos. That is some game plan right there. That is a deep Ryan Sims scout right there. You don't get that from the other coaches around this league to put together scouts is, hey, take him off the three-point line, make him shoot twos. Don's executed it almost perfectly, right? Three out of his 8 all year. And it's like, what is it, like 300 shots and 290-some of them are three-pointers?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, he does spend a lot of time just fishing around the three-point line. But yeah, so... this is not the first time this year that Golke's hit 10-3 in a game. 10-3s in a game. He's done it before. He was 10 for 15 against IUPUI back on February 17th. So, you know, 10 for 20. He had a bad shooting night. In fact, he said after the game, he was kind of ticked off and said to Trey Townsend, his teammate, he said, "Should have made 13.
13.
So apparently there were 3 of them that he missed that he was thinking back through his head that he had the look that he should have buried it. But, yeah, big night, and Oakland advances. They'll take on North Carolina State. They got a chance to win that one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They can do it.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Not only is it a source of pride when you deal with a Horizon League team that's advancing in the tournament, it's also a source of some revenue.
Oh, yeah.
There's pretty big money on this tournament. Every game you win, your check size increases, and that's a distribution that goes all the way through the conference. Now, I don't know what the exact number is. I don't know the exact arrangement that they have in the Horizon League, but I do know that Oakland wins, Purdue Fort Wayne wins
when it
comes to the bank account.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Yeah, so it's good for the league to see how far Oakland can go. And as we said, they're going to play tomorrow, 7:10 p.m. They get back on primetime. I guess the executives decided that Jack Golke's a primetime attraction, right?
It's like I said, they found their darling.
Well, you know what it is. Most of the guys that are sitting at a place like Winner's Circle, just hanging out, having a beer, they see themselves in Jack Golke, right? I mean, it's like, maybe I've got eligibility left, because if this guy can go out and pop those threes and he can actually advance in the NCAA tournament, I got everything that guy's got. I got a receding hairline. I got a dad bod. I could probably go out there and hit some threes and help my team advance. I mean, it was a pretty terrific night.
Absolutely.
4-6-8-6-2, and of course, a lot of questions now about Calipari. Kentucky fans, as you might expect, were not real thrilled with the loss last night. Maybe one of the most vocal social media fan bases you've got in the country.
It's up there because they have high
boards,
expectations.
Yeah, message boards, social media. And the question now becomes, everybody perceives that Calipari just builds rosters with freshmen, and can the freshmen compete now when you've got fifth-year seniors, you've got the grad students that transfer. Is the formula that Calipari has used to be successful, has it kind of expired? And does he have to kind of change his MO? Does he have to be more aggressive going for the transfer portal, and maybe not recruit the five-star freshman as much, and try to balance it? Now, I will say this. Last night, that was not five freshmen on the floor. He did have a couple of seniors. He had a sophomore. And then there were like three freshmen, and I think one or two of them might have come off the bench. But overall, it's still Calipari's MO to build the roster based on high-level, five-star McDonald's All-Americans. And maybe with the, you look at the last, what, 5 years, one tournament win, maybe it's time that doesn't work anymore. It's not playing. And I'll tell you this, after Indiana's year and Kentucky's year, those two really need each other next year. They need to play next year. And it's going to actually be another year before they do. But, right. Boy, those are two teams that they need to get that series going again. They got to bring life into their programs. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Let's find out what's happening in the world of sports and all of today's top headlines. Here is Adam Lundy.
All right. Let's get into it, Brett. Well, John Calipari spoke exactly about what we just mentioned today to media. He spoke about the state of the NCAA tournament after their loss to the Oakland Golden Grizzlies. Quote, it's changed on us. All of a sudden, it's gotten really old. So we're playing teams that our average age is 19. Their average age is 24 and 25. So do I change because of that? Maybe add a couple older guys to supplement. Talking about his makeup of his team. Well, checking in on the women's tournament, J.C. Sheldon had 19 points and three other Ohio State players scored in double figures as the Buckeyes ran away from Maine 80-57 in the first round of the women's NCAA tournament today. The Detroit Lions released Cameron Sutton late last night as authorities continue to search for the defensive back to serve a domestic violence warrant in Florida. The team announced the move on the X social media platform without offering any other details. And you mentioned Shohei Ohtani, Brett. Well, representatives of Los Angeles Dodgers superstar Shohei Ohtani have contacted law enforcement authorities and asked them to investigate, quote, a massive theft of money from the player. A source with direct knowledge told media late last night. The source declined to say which law enforcement agency had been contacted. And those are your top stories today, Brett.
I'm sitting here watching a video that was sent over to me by our buddy Rick. And Jack Golke has decided to extend his range at the Oakland practice today. Here he is throwing. Now, he had to throw it like football or baseball style, right? One-handed, over the shoulder, throw it the length of the court. But he actually shot from the opposite baseline and hit a 90-foot-plus shot. There it is.
Nice.
Yeah. And, someone tweeted it, said Horizon Roundtable tweeted it and said, Golke still hitting shots? Dropped it in from a long way. But anyway, we got to keep this show moving. Don't forget, out here at Winner's Circle in New Haven, corner of Minnick and Highway 30, right now all the games on the big wall to our left. There are tables available. That's the cool thing, too, is because some of these places, you don't even know if you're going to go in and get a seat. We can tell you in real time that right now there are tables that you can come out here and join us. You also can enjoy Coors Light, Miller Lite, Bud Light, or Yuengling Drafts for just $2.75. Coors Light, Miller Lite, Bud Light, Michelob Ultra Bottle Buckets. They're just $20. Plus, they've got great food specials. The candied bacon appetizer is $7. 10 wings for $8.50. And a sweet chili shrimp appetizer is $9. And they've got those specials running. If you can't make it, if you think, oh, man, I wish today I had some time between 4 and 6, no problem. Come out anytime during the tournament. They're going to run these specials all this weekend and all next weekend, the 28th through the 31st. So even if you can't make it while we're here, maybe you come out tonight, check out the Purdue game, and you come in a little after 6, we're wrapped up. No problem. You can still enjoy the great specials happening at Winter Circle. We've got prizes, too, for you to win. We've got some nice Caesars T-shirts. We've got the Harris bag. We've got the stocking caps back. Pretty cool with a little pom-pom on the top.
Oh, yeah. Those have been a real popular item.
Beer koozies. You can pick one of those up. What do we have for the box today?
It's another another four-pack of Comets tickets.
Four-pack of Comets tickets. So if you come out here to watch the games, you can actually win Comets tickets, and you can win a bet, because this is probably the only place,
I think it is, Brett.
The only place that you can come out, watch games, get great food and drinks, and go to the window, put down a little something, something, maybe put together your nighttime parlay, and then when you hit, you can collect some real cash. What was that bet that Brian told us about yesterday? Somebody put together...
It was a horse racing bet, and they bet $12 and won $50,000.
Yeah. And so they probably had some security help get them out to their car that day. 50 grand that they collected out of here.
A lot of fun being had.
Kind of Routesville right now in the NCAA tournament. A couple of one-sided games that we're watching here at Winner's Circle in New Haven. Clemson all over New Mexico, 51-32 with just a little over 16 minutes left. And then you've got UConn. Not too surprising. They are drubbing Stetson 57-24, and they've got 17 minutes left to play in that one. Auburn, Yale just getting underway. Also, some finals from earlier today. It took overtime, but Northwestern prevailed over Florida Atlantic 77-65. FAU missed a free throw on the front end of a 1-1 in the final seconds, and then they ended up getting the ball. With about 4 seconds left, John L. Davis crosses the timeline. He's got a chance to attack on the dribble, and instead he pulls up from the three-point line. Let this be a lesson to all of you kids that are listening to this program right now. If you've got the ball on a final possession, you don't seek the three. You look to attack the basket. If they take that away, now you're forcing the defense to probably double and triple inside because they aren't going to give you a layup to try to win the game. If you can get one, great. But chances are they're going to rotate their defense, probably two or three strong, to take away the layup. And somebody then on a kickout could shoot the three. But do not seek the three when you're on the bounce with seconds still left in the game. I hate that, Adam. It's bad basketball, and it came back to bite FAU. And, you know, in some ways, it's like you could question John L. Davis, but on the other side, you've got to point at Dusty May and say, look, your guys in this situation, they need to be prepared and know how do we attack this with certain amount of time on the clock. And if John L. Davis didn't do what he's supposed to do, that's one thing. But that's also not a good sign for a coach if your players aren't following through with what you're expecting them to execute. You've got to have them prepared. And it's like the five-second situation, the three-second situation, the baseline out of bounds, the sideline out of bounds. All those moments on final possessions, who needs to have the ball in their hands? FAU made sure that the ball went into the hands of John L. Davis. That's the guy they wanted to have the ball. What is John L. Davis best at? He's best at attacking and using his vertical and his overall strength to try to get to the basket and score around the rim. And he didn't even try. He had time. He slowed down near the three-point line and actually took an extra dribble. And it allowed the defense to collapse on him. Then he had a contested three that was partially blocked. And the game ends up going overtime. And, of course, in overtime, karma came back to bite FAU and Northwestern with the win. And credit to Northwestern. That team battled. And considering the fact they're down two starters, that team played hard, and Boo Booey, again, just making big plays when he needs to. But I almost feel like in that final minute, FAU lost this game more than Northwestern was able to force the overtime. But in overtime, credit to Northwestern. They won the game. They took over. Langhorn hit a couple of crazy shots.
Yeah.
And ended up Northwestern rolls by 12 points. 77-65 was the final in overtime. Other games from earlier today, again, a couple of one-sided contests. Baylor gets a big win over Colgate. That game was never close.
No.
92-67. And Marquette ends up with an 18-point win over Western Kentucky. That game was close.
It was.
Much closer than the 18-point margin indicates. But Marquette finally at the end of the game looked like Marquette. And so they win it 87-69, and San Diego State survives a serious threat from UAB. But San Diego State, the 5 seed, beat the 12 seed, UAB, 69-65. All right, got to check our bracket, Adam.
Yeah, our listener bracket.
Listener bracket, yeah, because I've given up on mine. Let's see what we've got so far. So today, Northwestern versus FAU, our listener bracket took Northwestern.
All right. I know that was to your chagrin, but
yeah,
good for them.
But they got the right pick. They took UConn, and UConn still has some time left, but I think with a 30-some point lead, they're safely in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
They took San Diego State and won that one. They've got Auburn, and Auburn's jumped out to a early lead, 10-5 over Yale. What other games have? Let's see. Well, some of the games happened last night. So far, they've got, let's see, Northwestern, San Diego State, Duquesne.
This is all bad here.
Yeah, they're going to have some trouble with that bracket. That was Whiskers, because he liked the Lobos.
He did.
Yeah, but Duquesne was a pick by our listeners bracket, so that was kind of a surprise win. First Duquesne victory in the NCAA tournament in 55 years, almost has been a long been so long that Keith Dambrot wasn't even born yet, but he actually is a little older than that, but he's retiring, and Duquesne got the win. They'll face Illinois because Illinois beat Morehead State, and the bracket's correct on that one. Washington State, Drake. I took Drake, and Washington State won, and our listeners took Washington State.
All right.
Man, our listeners are acing this.
I'm a little sad I did not take Washington State.
No, I took Drake.
Yeah.
And then you've got Iowa State versus South Dakota State. Listeners took Iowa State.
Good call.
Yep. The listeners, Michigan State, Mississippi State, took Michigan State. They got that one right. Who else has played? Oh, the Clemson, New Mexico's not looking real good.
No,
yeah.
They did get the Marquette win over Western Kentucky.
Yep. And then the listeners took Nevada to beat Dayton. Wolfpack over the Flyers. Guess who made that pick?
Whiskers.
Yeah, it was Whiskers.
Come on, man.
The Whiskers bracket. At least this bottom half of the West is not good. This was where Whiskers got involved, and he's having a rough go of it so far.
Yeah, not the most successful.
Although
method.
He did get Arizona over Long Beach State.
Yeah, well.
And I think at first, didn't he take Long Beach State? And I said...
He threw you off there, yeah.
Because I said, wait a minute, Wildcats, they've got... Oh, he says, I'll take Wildcats, they got Whiskers. So so I had to kind of help guide him through that pick. Now, other games with the completion, let's see. You've got North Carolina State. That was picked by our listeners. They got that one right. Now, of course, they took Kentucky.
Mm.
And so they like almost everyone else,
ooh,
missed out on Oakland's upset.
Have Kentucky in the Final Four.
Oh, yeah, the listeners do. They got Kentucky all the way to the Final Four before they get beat by Tennessee.
That's rough.
Yeah, that game hurt. That's where, you know, an upset, first thing you got to look at is how far did I have them? Is it going to cost me one round or is it going to cost me three or four rounds? And with Kentucky, that one loss by our listeners is going to be three losses before they had them picked to finally get beat. All right, so who else last night? Florida, Colorado's tonight.
They're playing right now, actually. It's 13-10 Florida lead.
And the listeners bracket has, where did it go? I just lost. Oh, it has Colorado.
All right.
Marquette, that was a listener's pick over Western Kentucky. Then I think the rest of these are, they missed on Texas.
Yep.
They missed on Texas, but that's only a one rounder because they had Tennessee, and now did Tennessee already played, right? They played last night. They beat St. Peter's.
Yeah, it was a handy win there.
Yeah. So Tennessee, they've got advancing past what they said would be the winner of Virginia, Colorado State. So the Texas loss, as long as Texas loses to Tennessee, the listeners will make that one up in round two. All right. Once again, this afternoon, UConn rolling over Stetson. Auburn 12-7 over Yale. They're only about 4 minutes into that game. Florida 15-10 over Colorado. That game only 3.5 minutes have been, actually it's 15-12, 4 minutes into the game. Florida leads it over Colorado. And Clemson by 13 right now over New Mexico. Lobos trying to have a rally here late. We'll see if they got it in them. All right, we'll keep following what's happening today in the NCAA tournament. Also, we are watching the games. Got places for you to come out and sit and enjoy the drink specials, 275 drafts for Coors Light, Miller Light, Bud Light, and Yingling. Also, don't forget about the buckets, the bottle buckets. You've got your choice, Coors Light, Miller Light, Bud Light, and Michelob Ultra. Also, there's plenty of food specials, including 10 wings for $8.50, happening here at Winner's Circle, where we will be broadcasting the Sports Rush live today up until 6 o'clock right here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. To the Sports Rush, we are live here at the Winner's Circle in New Haven, corner of Minnick Road and Highway 30. It's a place to be for the Purdue game tonight because we've got great drink specials. We've got plenty of good eats on sale, including the candied bacon appetizer. It's a special for just $7. 10 wings for $8.50. Sweet chili shrimp appetizer for $9. And if you get here while we're still here, we've got plenty of freebies for you. We've got T-shirts. We've got the stocking caps. We've got the little computer bag. We've got, what is that, like an iPad? Well, regular laptop fit in that, or is that an iPad bag?
It's kind of like a file bag, honestly.
Yeah,
it expands, and it can hold a lot in there.
And then we've got the koozies. We've also got Comet tickets we're giving away, so you can sign up to win Comet tickets.
We just had yesterday's winner stop by and pick up his.
Yeah, he's back. Back to back. He's here with us.
Hanging out.
And he just picked up his Comet tickets that he won yesterday. You could be today's winner. We have tickets to what
Friday,
game?
Next Friday's matchup.
Next Friday's game with the Comets. Has, you can see Andruziak, the new guy, who they just got via a trade yesterday.
Yeah, they'll be taking on the Indy Fuel next Friday, March 29th at 8 p.m. So you can win a four-pack to that.
And, of course, wall-to-wall games. Plus, this is the place to go because you can actually put a little something-something on the action tonight and get paid in cash at Winner's Circle. And, well, I hope you didn't put anything on Stetson. Stetson is down to UConn 65-37.
Wait. I wasn't supposed to put my house on Stetson?
Yeah. Adam, a former resident of New Haven, just down the road, he's looking for a new neighborhood. No, I'm trying to, what was the actual line of this game? Because I'll bet the line was 30 points.
I'll see
maybe,
what I can find.
Maybe you could still win. 27.5. And right now it's 28.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so I guess maybe you wouldn't have wanted to play the money line for Stetson, but, boy, you've got to sweat this out. Isn't it crazy how you see a game that's 65-37, and yet there's still a sweat for those people that actually played the spread on this one? UConn, 27.5, and what have they got, 102 points so far, and the over-under of 145.5, that's going to get close too, I think.
It could, just depends on how much UConn kind of blows it out here, I think.
Well, you'll get the backups, and scoring will probably slow down, so you know, because then they'll start draining the clock a little bit. So the under probably safe, although, you know, you're going to have Stetson launching a bunch of threes, so we'll see what happens. So far for Jalen Blackman, a Northeast Indiana product in this one, it's been a little bit of a rough day. Blackman is 1-for-6 from behind the arc, 3-for-10 overall. He's got 10 points. And he has put up 6 rebounds and 4 assists, so he's got not a bad stat line other than a tough shooting percentage, because for Stetson to be anywhere in the same zip code as UConn, Stetson's got to be burying a lot of threes.
Yeah, it was a little funny earlier. I know the Stetson guys are still having a good time. There was a throwdown dunk about a couple minutes ago when all the Stetson bench got extremely hyped, but it's like, you're down 27, but just enjoy the moment.
Maybe they got something on the game. Maybe they're counting that 27 and a half.
Maybe they're at winner's circle.
but anyway, we'll keep you up to date with what's happening in the NCAA tournament action. Don't forget, Purdue tonight plays at 7:25, so you want to come out here. Right now, we've got about 11 or 12 tables that are available here at Winner's Circle. So you've got time, if you're just getting home from work, grab who you want to be your companion tonight and come on out here to Winner's Circle, because you'll have prime seating for the Boilermakers versus Grambling State. And that game, again, tips off at 7:25 from Indianapolis. And you'll be able to put something on it and have a little fun with the action tonight. You'll also be able to enjoy the drink specials, the food specials. And if you're here before 6, we've got some nice giveaways for you. We'll talk to Brian, the manager that's out here. We'll talk to him a little bit in our next hour and just talk about what the weekend plans are here at Winner's Circle as well. Whole nother hour as we wrap up your work week. It's time to take you officially into the sports weekend. We'll do that next, right here on the Sports Rush, live from Winner's Circle in New Haven on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.